This is a book that people use to train sign language interpreters in the liturgy. It's just a book you can get for yourself on Amazon or some other bookseller. Nothing really special. But what makes it special for me is the person who gave it to me. Her name was Betsy Smiley, the Reverend Betsy Smiley. She was a priest in the Diocese of Newark. The year was about 1985, and we met at the Deaf Bible Club that she had created for school children, deaf school children, in an Episcopal church conveniently right across the street from a deaf school. And I was learning sign language at the time, and I was interpreting services at that church, St. Peter's Mountain Lakes. And so this might look like a regular old book, but it's something special to me. Betsy was ordained a priest along with her husband. They went to seminary together and started their life, had a little girl and then a little boy. Their little boy was born deaf. His name is Nathan. And when Nathan was born deaf, she was really rocked. She was despondent. She was angry. She was confused. She didn't know what to do. And as the experts went, there were basically a couple ways you could choose to educate and teach communication to your deaf child. One was the oral method, which is using your voice language, English. It took longer for deaf children, because the way we learn language is to hear it and imitate it. But those folks had a way of doing it in which they said, don't teach them sign language, it'll retard their language development and their speech. And then there was the other camp. I'm making this pretty simple, but it wasn't really that simple. But that was the camp that said, your child is deaf and their natural language is the language of sign. And that's the language of gesture, and it's their native language, American Sign Language, and they need to learn English as a second language. But if you want to communicate, you need to learn sign language. And so Betsy and her husband struggled with this decision for a while, and in the end, she decided that Nathan would learn sign language. They start teaching them as infants, and she learned right along with him because she said she couldn't bear to not communicate with her son. So that's what makes this book really special to me. Betsy was a close companion. She was the one I went to when I was considering a call to the priesthood. I'd already made my way in another profession and was, you know, responding to a call that I thought had been long ago. But I remembered Betsy's, her faith and the way she discerned her life and how she prayed and consulted with people. And I thought, that's the person to go to as a mentor. So I went to her and told her about my call. And over the months we worked together, she finally, I guess, got frustrated with me because I was always wanting to know exactly what was going to happen and in what order. And she very calmly said, you know, if it's really a call, it won't leave you alone. It'll just come back and come back until you follow it to its conclusion. And so that's the kind of mentor Betsy was. Now, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament was Elijah. Heard about him today. Elijah and his apprentice, Elisha. They do that, making their names almost identical to confuse us. It wasn't that confusing in those times. I just have to make a disclaimer because the reader was correct. In liturgy, we often say Elijah and Elisha so that we can determine, you know, this is a place that we're supposed to hear the story. It's okay to say it that way. But in the Hebrew world, it was Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was probably the greatest prophet, He was prophesying around 9th century BCE, about the time of King Ahaz, not a very nice man, and Ahaziah. That was the reign that he was prophesying during. And he was the one prophesying in the northern kingdom. And to make sure that the Hebrew people knew that God was one God, the God of Israel, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, one God, I am who I am. That was his message. He did a really terrific job at it, didn't he? So terrific, Peter, James, and John on a mountain almost 1,000 years later recognized him, right? Oh, that's Elijah. Because he was so well known as a prophet. One of his most spectacular events was when he was challenged by the gods, by Ahaz, and, you know, his wife was Jezebel, right? Jezebel wanted to bring all the gods of Baal into the kingdom. And Elijah was saying, no, no, not here. God is one God. So they had what we call the Super Bowl of the prophets. Had the prophets of Baal on one side and the prophets of Elijah and the one God, Yahweh, on the other. And it was really a challenge. It was a contest. Put all these carcasses of bulls, and whoever could call down fire from their God to burn up that sacrifice, then they knew who God was. So the prophets of Baal went first, and they did their praying and their dancing and their whatever they did, and nothing happened. And then Elijah gathered the prophets of Yahweh. And just to make it interesting, he had them pour water all over the carcasses. That wasn't enough. He dug a trench around it, filled it with water. Because how could it burn if it's covered with water? And then the prophets called on the name of the Lord. And bam, fire took it all instantaneously. So they knew who was God. That was Elijah's prophesy. That was how he worked. He was a messenger of God. And he was one of the best. He took on an apprentice. His name was Elisha. He picked him up along the side of the road about 8 years before he was done. In a field, he was a farmer. And now it's time, when we join him in the story from today's reading, it's time for Elijah to retire. His career's done, and God is sending a huge golden chariot of fire to pick him up. And so there they are. They're on their way from Gilgal down through, they went to Beth-El, and then on their way to Jericho, to the Jordan River. And in the story, you heard it. All the way there, Elisha would say, I'm following you, Master. And Elijah would turn and say, no, no, stay here. You don't have to come. And he'd go on, and he'd still be following him, so Elisha wouldn't leave him. And they got to the Jordan River and needed to get to the other side. So Elijah wrapped up his mantle. That's a symbol of his prophetic office. And he slammed it on the ground, and the waters parted, just like Moses and the Red Sea. Water went that way, water went the other way, and they walked across on dry land. And don't you know that's where the chariot was going to be waiting? Seems like all the other prophets knew this is the day that Elijah's taken up. And so they get there. And Elijah could have just walked into his glory. But instead, he did one last thing. He turned around and he said this to Elisha. Tell me, what may I do for you before I'm taken up? So even then, as he was almost done, he thought of his apprentice and asked, what would you like? What can I do for you? Because I'm on my way out. And Elisha gives a great answer. He could have asked for fame, power, fortune. He said, I want what you got. Only I want double. Now, you might think he's greedy. He wasn't. He just knew he wasn't Elijah. Nobody was Elijah. I guess he figured he needed double just to kind of keep up. So he asked for the right thing. Now, the only thing we miss in this story today, because the lectionary cuts us off at verse 12, most powerful thing Elisha did. He walked to the edge of the Jordan, and he picked up the mantle, and he held it in his hand as he watched his mentor go off on his chariot. Great story. Great story. And my question, my favorite sermon question is, so what? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for me, the way that Elijah and Elisha interacted? And I think he asked for the right thing. He knew Elijah was taking the agenda of God as his own. And Elisha was ready to say, I'm there. I'm taking that agenda of God as my own too, because you gave to me double the blessing. Now that's what Betsy did for me. Everybody, I think, has a Betsy in their life. And it's not just someone who's nice to us. It has more to do with faith formation. In our faith formation journey, what brings us here, there have to have been people who gave us that to carry and then to hand over. Every time you taught a Sunday school class, every time you prayed for someone, every time you brought a meal to somebody in need, every time you brought a can of food for the hunger drive, every time you listened to someone who needed someone to listen. It's not that simple little pay it forward, because God is in it. It's all about our faith. There have been Elijahs here for over 50 years, handing over the mantle. And we have been taking it up. And that is what we do in baptism, in confirmation, in all of the pieces of the journey where we walk with God. And so every time I look at this book, I think of Betsy, I think of the double share she left for me. And I think, dear Betsy, rest in peace. Amen.